Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the Zudio in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys flapping gums and being chums, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today on the podcast, it is once again time for Nerd Alerts.
Nerd Alerts.
And up top, before we get into the Nerd Alerts, we kind of have a... We record this on Saturday, so we woke up this morning. You guys probably know by now because you listen on Monday, hopefully, when it comes out, first thing. But... we woke up this morning Saturday to have some sad news in the nerd world.
Oh, yes. Very sad news.
So we learned this morning that Black Panther himself, Chadwick Boseman, has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 4-year battle with colon cancer.
He did.
And he had lost that battle. So we want to say rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. We were thinking of your family. And we wanted to mention not only Black Panther was... He was great in Black Panther.
Yes.
And that role means so much to so many people of color.
Absolutely.
A very important role. He did it so well in all the different appearances throughout the Marvel movies, but other stuff too, because, I mean, 42 is an amazing movie. I've watched that movie more than once.
Yep.
The Jackie Robinson story. And just, I mean, come on, Get On Up. He just, if there was an iconic...
Yeah, he was James Brown, Jackie Robinson, Thurgood Marshall.
Yeah.
That newest Spike Lee movie, The Five Bloods. Yeah. He was great in that.
Yeah.
He's just, especially now with as much as it's taking over social media and people are posting a lot of things in sort of deference to him and showing what he was as a person. It's just an example of the kind of people we look up to in the nerd media that we watch and consume. Yes. It's definitely just... Super cool dude and incredibly sad that he passed.
Yes, it is. So we just had to mention that up top. Like I said, we do this on Saturday and we're kind of like, oh,
yes,
stunned. And these Nerd Alerts is all about the nerdy news and it's usually fun and happy and everything. But every once in a while something like this happens and we had to mention it. So rest in peace, Chadwick.
Exactly.
You will be missed. So I will now hand this over to Mikey. And we will get into the... Now, Mikey does all this research, and he sent me the Nerd Alert list, and there's, like, so many podcasts worth of Nerd Alerts, so I'm interested to see where you bump around and bump through.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. There's a bunch... We got bullet points to talk about. We'll hit what we hit and see what happens.
Yeah, there's so much stuff. There's so much stuff. Wow, there's so many... There's so much nerd news.
That and my note-taking is a little obsessive, just because... It's fun. I don't know.
This is why you are the host of Nerd Alerts.
There you go.
Yes.
So, Nerd Alerts. Here we go. Starting off right at the top of my notes is television, though. Yes. Are you watching anything lately? Any binges going on at the Phelps household?
So let's see. Well, what do we got going on at the household? Online school has started, so stuff hasn't been watched as much. But
gotcha.
As you know, we found, and I had Mikey binge this while he was recovering from his dog collar surgery. That sounds like surgery we get for a dog collar. But
my heartworm's all cured, so it's all good.
So there's a wonderful show with Chris O'Dowd is done.
Yes.
Called Moon Boy.
Moon Boy.
That's on Hulu, and it's all about, it's kind of a satirized version of his youth growing up in the early 90s in Boyle, Ireland.
Yes.
It's Irish Wonder Years.
It's very much Irish Wonder Years.
It's delightful, though.
Yep.
That's something we've been enjoying watching. And then also my kids on the Nerd Alert side have been super, originally they were watching with me and then they just went rogue and then they apologized and said, sorry.
We blew through it already.
They're blowing through Attack on Titan.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Because they are now currently taking Japanese in school.
Ah.
And they like watching the version in Japanese.
There you go.
With the subtitles. So we had that whole sub versus dub discussion. And for them, it's sub because they want to hear the Japanese.
And then that's the best way to do it as a nerd. It's like immersion in it. If you listen to it enough, something's going to sink in through osmosis anyway.
They've only been in school like a week or so, and they've already taught me stuff about Japanese. They're so into it.
Fun. hopefully when restaurants open back up, there'll be more trips to Japanese restaurants and they can just order for you. And
well, especially there's that awesome sushi, revolving sushi bar that's here.
Kura.
That they have the little screen that plays stuff and it's all in Japanese.
That's right.
And they can be like, I know what that says. While I just sit there and go like, look at the cute little anime character jumping around.
And then they can laugh.
Wanting more plates.
Feed me your plates or win a prize.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that place is awesome. Well, cool. Yeah. Oh, Moon Boy. Definitely. Absolutely. Attack on Titan. Absolutely. My current binge is The Boys on Amazon Prime.
Ah.
It's got a lot of praise going on. It's not underground or underrated or anything, but I finally got around to watching it, and it's on the darker end of the spectrum. It is super graphic. It's super adult and vulgar. But if you're in a Watchmen kind of anti-superhero, anti-protagonist kind of mood, it is stellar. It's the darker side of what if superheroes weren't necessarily super people, like good people?
Yeah.
Whew. And they go all the way. They turn it up to 11. And the new season comes out September 4th, second season. So keep an eye out for that. That's my binge recommendation for the week. Yeah,
I've seen the trailers for that. It looks really interesting, an interesting take on things.
Yep, and it's got our favorite on the podcast, Carl Urban, Judge Dredd, and from various roles. But he's one of the main humans in the series, and Billy Butcher, he rocks it.
Yes.
But something else in the news that we are both huge fans of and we've talked about numerous times on the podcast is Stranger Things.
Oh, yes.
Not only is Stranger Things coming back, that's, you know, the anticipation's already high for that, but in a recent interview, the Duffer Brothers confirmed that this next season is not the last.
What?
Yes. There's going to be more.
But I thought it was the last. What happened?
Apparently, with all this downtime and being quarantined, they were able to think about the story more, nerd out about being writers a little bit, and sort of just fleshed it out and expanded the story so that they have more to tell.
That's interesting. Wow. Well, that's kind of cool. You know what's cool about that? The coolest thing about that is that it doesn't sound like it was forced.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as like, come on, guys. Season 4 was the biggest hit we ever had. We got to do more. Because that's been the major failing of American television over the years.
Is trying to wring everything out of it?
Exactly. That's what people be like, why are these British shows so much better? Because the British are so disciplined that they tell their story, and when they're done, they're done.
Exactly.
I mean, they're hard done, too. Sometimes the creators have to be like, you're backing Brinks trucks up for them, and they're like, no, I'll do something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why you see a lot of, you'll see the same actors over and over and over again and stuff in British things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they'll use that to do their next thing.
And they're not running into the Hollywood problem of somebody being like sort of just typecast and that role forever.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's people who are trained in a theater background. That comes from the Americans generally who want to become actors a lot of times, unless they go to New York for Broadway and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're going to become famous.
Yes.
Whereas British people, when they become actors, it's a craft to them. And that's why you end up with the Patrick Stewarts.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's why you get guys like, why are there so many British people playing Marvel characters?
And just Americans in general, because they're better at it than we are.
They're better at it. So,
but that also makes sense on sort of like the TV mentality of like having like a season or a short run, because that's very theatrical too. It'd just be like, we're putting on this performance for the next 18 months. After that, it's on to the next thing, you know? So we're going to tell the show for 2 series and then be done.
Exactly.
They did that with Watchmen recently. Everybody thought it because it did so well that the reboot was going to keep going and going. But the creators of it were just like, nope, we only wanted 1 season. We told the story we want to tell and we're done. And they didn't say that until it was after it was over. So hilarious. So
that's big news. So Stranger Things 4, we already got the teaser where we got to see Hopper in a gulag.
Yes.
So I knew that. It's kind of, you know what's kind of funny is I want to know.
I think you predicted that too
I did predict it. Because of that, I want to know, there's two kinds of people, I think, in this world. Look at me, I'm pigeonholing.
And holding up two fingers.
And holding up two fingers. There's two kinds of people in this world. There's people who predict things and are happy that they're right and think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people who predict things and think the thing sucks now because they were able to predict it.
Oh, I got you.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Almost like they took the easy way out or were predictable.
This is so predictable. And I'm one of those people who, if it comes out the way I thought, I'm like, yes, I'm as smart as these awesome creators.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Yeah, that's how I do it. Is that how you are?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You're not one of those like, because there's people who will love something. Love it.
Yep.
And they'll be like, oh, I'm so predictable. And it's like, but now you don't love, they did what you, I don't understand it. I know people like to be surprised sometimes.
I get it.
But sometimes you're given a present. Right?
Yes.
And you know what it is.
Yes.
And you open it up, and it's what you thought it was.
Yeah.
And you're still dang happy to get the present because it's what you wanted, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Or you open it up, and it's a surprise, and surprises go two ways. Either it's like, oh, I had no idea I wanted this. This is great. Or it's like, what did you just give me? Right? So I don't know. The first one seems better to me.
I would also imagine that the people that predict it and get mad are also the people that get mad when they get surprised either way. You know, like, I think that's just bad expectations. But
yes. It's interesting, too. So on three, we left off with some people had left town, and they had already said that, hey, the kids are getting older and we're not going to pretend they're not.
Yes.
So we're just whatever age they are when we're filming it, they're going to be that age, which is also more brilliance.
Oh, absolutely.
That's. There's been so much stuff in the past that, is it the boomers' fault? Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it when, I mean, there's so much stuff where it's like, no, this, I know she was 12 last season.
Oh, yes.
And we're filming it so much later. She's 16 now, but she's 13. Trust us. And you're like, that's not a 13-year-old.
Well, is that better than like the old 70s, 80s sitcom way of being like, this is the daughter for this season and it's a new person entirely?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like,
yeah, because
of
they,
reasons.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they used to do too sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes it was simply, sometimes you think it was something like that they weren't a good actor or anything, but sometimes it was, no, you went through puberty.
Yeah.
No.
You took the wrong turn at puberty, Pubertyville.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious.
But it's cool to hear that they'll keep up with it. And, I mean, obviously we got Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things, which is the awesome thing. But speaking of Millie Bobby Brown, she's also going to be in a new series on Netflix coming out September 23rd. So coming out soon as well. But Enola Holmes.
Yeah.
I didn't even know this was a thing.
I think it's a new thing.
Okay.
I think so. I haven't looked into it.
All I know is it's actually based off the book series. So,
oh, there's a book series?
There is.
Oh.
That's why I say I didn't know it was a thing.
I didn't know it was a thing either.
But apparently this is based off books, but Enola Holmes is Millie Bobby Brown is Sherlock Holmes' sister.
And Sherlock Holmes is?
Henry Cavill.
Yes.
Superman.
And The Witcher.
And The Witcher, and now Sherlock.
And the tank top computer builder who breaks the internet.
PC God, yes.
I had no idea this was a thing.
Yes.
I didn't even know it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is all of a sudden I saw it showed up somewhere. I don't know where it showed up. Social media maybe I saw it, I guess. I don't know. And I was like, what in the heck is this? And then I watched the trailer and I went, what in the heck is this? It looks freaking awesome.
It looks amazing.
It looks like you took Nancy Drew and Anne of Green Gables and squished them together.
Yep. Our kind of bread and butter.
Yes. I mean, this looks great. I don't know anything about the book series. I'm just talking to my butt now. I don't know. I know that the Sherlock Holmes didn't, I don't think in any of those books they talked about Sherlock Holmes' sister.
No. I don't think it's canon to Arthur Conan Doyle. Conan Doyle? Whoops.
Conan Doyle. Arthur Conan Doyle. Conan O'Brien Doyle.
Yes.
But I have a little ranty-danty about this.
Go for it.
But it's a good rant. This is positive to me. And I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble, and I'm not trying to get anyone mad, but this is assuming position, so here we go. If you want to say, like, hey, we need strong female characters, fine, right? Sherlock Holmes. Now, the easy way is, like, let's make girl Sherlock Holmes, which they have done before.
Yep.
And fine. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that, but this kind of thing, this is how you do it, in my opinion, brilliantly.
I got you.
It's more creative than just being like, hey, remember that character used to be a boy? Now that character's a girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Look how progressive we are.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like, hey, what if he had like some kind of crazy sister who was raised by freaking Harriet from Red Dead? And only some people get that reference. They're showing like she knows how to fight because she was taught to fight, and she doesn't know how to embroider because her mom was eccentric and didn't teach her how to do that.
Yep.
And then that comes up because that's the funny tag. It's like she says all these things, and he's like, "You don't know how to embroider?" It's so funny. And the whole where's your hat and gloves thing.
Exactly.
So funny.
And that's the, like, there's certain takes of Sherlock Holmes that are super serious, and there's certain takes of Sherlock Holmes that are more silly, and I tend to fall in line with a little bit slightly more silly.
Yes, yeah. Me too. And it was funny because when I was watching it with my boys, I was like, do you think that they got them to do this by saying, hey, Henry Cavill and Millie Bobby Brown, you need to use your own accents?
Are you tired and tired of talking in weird accents? Yeah. Do you want a little bit of a break?
Yeah. Do you want to just talk how you talk?
I believe it.
Because my kids were like, she has a British accent. I'm like, yeah, she has a British accent. She does.
In real life. IRL.
Again, didn't we just mention earlier British people playing?
It also says, speaking of awesome British people, Helena Bonham Carter has a bit part in this as well. So, well, looking forward to that. But I'm with you on the doing it as a piece of the world rather than trying to redo the stories that have already been told.
Right.
Because that's the perfect nerd way to do it. You give familiarity in that here's a setting and a convention and a setup that you know, but
that's a role-playing game.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a role-playing game.
Yep.
100%.
So it's the Sherlock Holmes skin, but new party of characters.
Yes.
Oh.
And Sherlock Holmes is there, and you can meet him and interact with him and stuff, but it's like these other characters.
Yep.
Man, see, that's
chef's kiss.
That's chef's kiss.
But one more thing to wrap up the British awesomeness.
Yes.
From another British duo on television. Well, I love them mainly for their films. I've watched the old TV shows, but to vary the lead, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are coming back in a show called Truth Seekers.
Truth Seekers.
Dun, dun, dun.
What's Truth Seekers?
It is an upcoming comedy horror television series. It's basically about, like, you remember the old Ghost Hunter shows that used to be popular in the early 2000s?
Right.
It's like that, but they actually start to come true, you know? And so,
oh my gosh.
If you imagine Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, who, you know, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, that fame, doing the supernatural, oh, things are actually happening, you know? It looks like What We Do in the Shadows type humor, that type of stuff. So excited for it.
I'm excited for it, too. That's brilliant. Those guys. Those guys, they're part of the nerd generation who was able to make stuff.
Yep.
So I think, really, that's why media has been so good to us and for us lately.
I got you.
Because it's like the nerds have risen up to positions where George Lucas had to trick people into making his movie.
Yeah.
Basically.
You almost had to sneak your vision in.
Yeah, you had to sneak it in. But now there's people who are raised on George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. And Steven Spielberg and George Lucas run things now.
Yeah.
So you're getting all this awesome stuff happening.
And people like that in charge understand, like, hey, if you let people do what they're passionate about, you tend to get good results. So Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, they make things that they seem to care a lot about and are fun to them, and it translates. I don't think they've had a movie that was not a cult success. So.
And was it both of them that did the C-3PO R2-D2 thing?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Was it? That wasn't an SNL skit. What was that?
I don't know what it was. I know I just found it on the internet and it was hilarious.
It is one of those things that exists. Like, I forget where it comes from, but it's in my brain.
Yes.
So yeah, Truth Seekers. No real hard date on that. It's supposed to come out this year, so just keep an eye out on.
There's no hard dates on nothing anymore, really.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff for September, but after that, it's still up in the air, I figure.
Yeah. So.
But that's TV. Whole bunch of stuff to look out for. And there's still movie news, because movies will come back at some point. Otherwise, I will go crazy. I'm ready to sit in the dark and not have to talk to people and eat some candy, so ready for that.
Yeah, and not at your house.
Yeah, not at my house. But one of the movies I'm most looking forward to, and the trailer just dropped recently, is The Batman.
The Batman.
The Batman.
The Batman.
Or if you have a certain type of accent, or live in a certain region of the United States, it's The Batman.
The Batman. Bitten.
We've talked about it a little bit on this podcast previously about Robert Pattinson and all that, but seeing the trailer and seeing all the pieces in play, I'm incredibly hopeful for this movie.
Are you?
Yes.
I saw the trailer, and I thought of an old Batman thing, an old thing the Joker said. Why so serious? Why so serious?
Why so serious?
I just... So, it's the dark, gritty stuff is...
Yep.
I don't know. I could,
you would much rather a Tim Burton or an Adam West or a Michael Keaton, a little bit of the action comedy more so than, like, gritty noir.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, and I see why people are excited, and it's probably great, and I know some of the comics are like that, and I know that I kind of lean Marvel anyway, and Marvel's kind of, I forget who it was. Jeez, I should do better research, but I'm just thinking of this now. Someone was saying that it's hard to make comedy, straight comedy movies now because of Marvel.
Because of Marvel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because those are funny.
Oh, I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's probably just a complaint because they're not writing good enough scripts or something. I have no idea. But
that is a good, I mean, that's a valid point. Like Marvel does add a great dose of comedy into their action movies. So nowadays it seems like you have to sort of know how to do everything. You can't just do one thing
right.
as easily.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, it's the thing that they seem to be doing and leaning into, which is fine to me because you can go really far with Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to actually be going really far this time.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's dark gritty and then there's dark.
Yeah.
And I know there's versions of Batman where the question while you're reading these comics is Batman any better than the people that he's fighting?
Absolutely.
Batman is more of a vigilante than a hero.
Yeah, he's towing the line of what's appropriate or acceptable right. a little bit harder.
And Gotham is such a dark, hard place that you have to go like Breaking Bad to try and get your stuff accomplished.
Yeah, to fight fire with fire.
And
kinda.
Just in that little clip, the way he was fighting those guys,
huh?
That was like straight up like, he's nuts.
There's so many punches.
Right. Just, so, I don't know, maybe I'm changing my mind now because if they're just going to go whole hog into that,
yeah,
then go for it.
I get it.
Maybe that's been the problem with DC is that they haven't. Well, Batman has never really had that much of a problem.
I get it.
As far as DC movies go.
Yeah, they are sort of separate.
But maybe they just need to like go all in like that and just push all the chips in. I guess Batman's the only one who can do that. It's so weird. Batman's such a weird thing. He's so different than any of the other pantheon of DC heroes.
Yeah, because for as much as he's a hero, you know, air quotes, he lives in the shadows, you know,
right.
like he is a vigilante. He is the most sort of like dark, right. like depressed, not depressed, but like it's all vengeance and all like,
right.
it's all that.
It doesn't even seem
themes.
Like DC should own Batman. It seems like it should be under like Dark Horse or Image.
Image,
or,
yeah.
Yeah, Image for sure.
Yep.
You know, it's interesting. He just doesn't, he's kind of square peggy in the round hole of DC.
I get it.
So I guess, I don't know. I'll watch it. It looks, I mean, I think a lot of people worry about Pattinson
mm-hmm.
in it, but they didn't really show him that much as Bruce Wayne walking around.
Yep.
And I think too, I mean, what kind of, there's been so many kinds of Bruce Waynes. I don't know what kind of Bruce Wayne you're looking for. The millionaire playboy Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
Or when I saw the trailer, Pattinson kind of came across to me as like, oh, was he playing like Elon Musk is Batman?
It kind of has a little bit of that vibe, yeah. I'm
because
with you.
That would be, if he's doing that, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to say like, who is a modern Bruce Wayne? And people usually are thinking millionaire playboy. So they kind of think more of the Michael Keaton or the things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think of like who our millionaire tech geniuses
yep.
are
yep.
and who would be a good Batman, Elon Musk would be a, that you could believe it.
Oh, he'd fit the type, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're like, Bill Gates ain't Batman.
Because it's, I mean, the fun side of it, of the bat, like that aspect of Batman is that, yes, it's millionaire playboy. So you see him like around town and with models or at fancy restaurants, all that stuff. But they also like the millionaire playboy aspect could go darker in that it's really a person that has so much money and power that they can do what they want,
right?
You know,
right.
in public life and also when it comes to right. crime and
right.
cleaning up his city. So
go make a flamethrower.
Oh, why not
make a rocket to Mars?
Who's gonna tell you no? You know, I could totally buy that.
Yeah,
although I wouldn't want to see Elon Musk as Batman. That'd be a little weird.
I know, but I'm just saying that I got, that's the vibe I got.
Oh, absolutely.
What vibe did you get about?
They made him a little emo looking, which I'm okay with. I had that phase in high school, but I like dark Batman. The thing I like about this, the impression I got from the trailer is that it is dark Batman. You can say, well, Nolan already did dark Batman. And it seems like these are both going to be separate enough that they can both exist without really stepping on each other's toes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of excited for that. I love the new Batmobile. I don't know why I really like how they did it in this movie. That was the one aspect of the Dark Nolan movies that I didn't like. I wasn't on board with the super military tumbler. Like, I get that he has a whole bunch of money and Batman can do that, but I like a cool car with a jet engine on the back.
Yeah.
One last little point about the trailer that I thought was hilarious is that the internet kind of blew up. The biggest criticism I saw about this trailer and this movie was the fact that they just used Nirvana's Something in the Way as the soundtrack to this trailer.
They did.
Any thoughts?
As the Gen X grunger in the room?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know people got really upset about it, and I think that that upsetness comes from the fact that, and I get it, because I kind of thought, too, this is what I thought. I thought, oh, Kurt would never sell his song for a movie, ever.
Yeah, oh, never, yeah.
Ever. Kurt Cobain was one of, like, those type of artists.
Yes.
Who was it before? There's other bands in the past. Like, from way past, like some classic rock bands who won't let their music be used.
Well, I think the Eagles, but that's mainly monetary reasons rather than principles. But
no,
Kurt wasn't the first, but...
Yeah, but he's that type.
Oh, absolutely.
And so it's one of those things where it's like, oh, man, and I think I know who's in control of that stuff. So it's like, you know, and a lot of people think she killed him. But anyway... Well, I'm saying...
Hot take.
Well, I mean, there was a whole documentary, but I'm not saying anything.
I get it.
I'm neutral on it, but I don't hold Kurt Cobain up to any pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Nirvana. I like some of the songs, a lot of the songs, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're my wife's favorite band, and he wouldn't like it. But the thing is, I'm not one of those type of people. Like, if I had hit songs and people are like, can we put this in the thing? I'd be like... Quando, how much you giving me?
Yeah,
because there is a number.
How many times is it gonna play?
I can't be bought. So
I get it.
So I mean, like, whatever. That stance to me has always been like, yeah. But I think that's where it's coming from. I think it's coming from the super fans being like, Kurt would never have done that.
Yeah,
you know. And it's like, he was like how old when whatever happened to him? If he did it to himself, I mean, come on,
27.
Yes, it's. He's part of that club.
He is.
It's like how you've said about the Doors. No offense.
It's true. And like, we can't really say what older Kurt Cobain would have done
exactly
in a business sense.
Like, yeah, exactly. 50. What are you? He probably 50 now or something like that.
Yeah. Because look at Eddie Vedder. He used to be the biggest curmudgeon, but now even then he's still doing smart business sort of associations with Pearl Jam that aren't just like selling out.
So. Right. So yeah, it's the sellout thing. But come on, man. I'll sell it. Who wants to buy this podcast? No.
Oh, my hot take is selling out as a concept is kind of dumb anyway. I mean, you start a band to be like a band, you know? So what's wrong with getting accolades for being...
Right.
Putting out the awesome things you put out.
Right, exactly.
But anyway, Batman trailer. Good times. Oh, super hyped for it. Two other movie bullet points that we have. I'll let you pick between which one you want to talk about more. There is news about Tron 3.
Tron 3.
New Charlie Kaufman movie.
Well, we're going to have to talk about them both now because you mentioned them.
we can leave it as a surprise.
Let's talk about both of them. Why not?
Okay. So Tron 3. They're doing Tron. Tron Legacy was about a decade ago.
Yeah.
But
really?
It was. I was reading the story and I was like, what?
That was like when Macaulay Culkin broke the internet the other day. Did you see that?
When he said he was 40.
Yeah. He's like, you want to feel old? I'm 40. That's all he tweeted.
And it was, I think he posted that because it was his birthday, right?
Yeah, it was his birthday.
Hilarious. But still, that makes you go, the kid screaming in the mirror, slapping his face? Wow. How time flies.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now 10 years out from Tron Legacy. Tron 3, apparently the story has been in development all this time, but now with streaming services taking over and Disney Plus sort of bringing things back because they're Disney Plus, they can do what they want. That's what it's slated to be, a new original movie for Disney Plus streaming services.
Oh, so Tron 3. Now, like, we reassume Tron 1, and it doesn't hold up that much, just mainly because technology.
Yep.
Not a terrible movie.
It isn't.
It's not at all, but didn't hold up for my children who grew up in this era. It has nostalgia for me, and I can remember when, like, there were floppy disks and stuff, so
yeah.
it doesn't bother me that much. That being said, we did watch Alien, and even though some of the tech is wonky in that thing and obviously doesn't fit our current timeline, didn't bother them a bit because that's a brilliant movie and will be forever, I think.
Oh, holds up extremely well.
Yeah, it's really interesting that no matter what kind of tech you're showing,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter if the story's being well told.
Yeah.
So a story well told will let you overlook the fact that, you know, because there's that room with all the mother room with all the blinky lights. It's so obviously like 70s sci-fi.
Yeah, it's some switchboard from an old TV station.
Yeah, and like the CRT monochrome screen, you know, with the big keys.
Apple IIs, the wave of the future.
But it didn't bother him at all.
I believe it.
Because story well told. But anyway, Tron, that must have been 10 years ago if I even remember. I don't even remember seeing Tron. Did I ever see Tron 2? I don't know if I ever saw Tron 2.
Tron Legacy, the big thing you would remember about it is that was the first real example of them youngifying Jeff Daniels. No, Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. Yes, yeah. That was the youngify movie.
Yeah. And it was one of the real first moments of being like, hey, we can do this. Isn't it awesome? And people are like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember if I saw it. I don't remember. If I saw it, it was a long time ago. Go back through our old podcast, but I don't think I saw it.
Fair enough. I think that was mentioned when our Tron reassumed that you'd only seen the old one.
That's right. You said see the new one because it's not that bad.
Yeah, it because it helps with the problem because we're now in the modern age of awesome CGI and better techniques to do all that stuff. Yes, when you do a sci-fi tech movie, it sort of dates itself the moment you put it out.
Yep.
The fact that CGI and graphics are so awesome now really helps sell it. I mean, it's not as... I think the Tron, we said, was more classic, and I agree. But I think it's such a cool world and such a cool idea as far as the characters that the potential for having the story carry it, like you're saying with Alien, I think that could happen now. So hopefully...
Yeah, the story's not bad. That's probably why you're able to sit through it. But it was just making my kids giggle because just the special effects don't work. And the stuff they're talking about is like, what...
I got you.
Because we talked about it. Go listen to our reassumption. So is there anything interesting that's supposed to be happening in this one versus the last one? Is there any connection at all? Are they going to youngify people again?
I haven't heard about the youngify. They say it's going to take place. It does relate to the events that happen in Legacy, so we might see Olivia Wilde as Quora back. Mm. We're going to have Daft Punk back for the soundtrack. That's always fun. More, I'm biased towards that because, you know, I like me some Daft Punk. But then also that the new lead of the movie would probably be Jared Leto.
Oh, okay.
So take that as you will. If you are pro-Leto, anti-Leto.
I'm pro-Leto.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the only anti-stuff comes is because he's so handsome.
Oh, yeah.
He's so handsome. And I think that's the guy's getting hate because he's pretty.
He's got a little bit of the Johnny Depp, Matthew McConaughey, like hippie, I do what I want vibe.
I like the guy.
Yep.
I like the guy.
So, hey, Jared Leto, he did great in Blade Runner 2049.
I like the guy. Go for it, man. Disney Plus stuff. I like the stuff coming to the, like I said, I'm with you. Like the fact that the theaters are mostly dark, and I think some of them might be slightly open now, but you're taking your chances. But anyway, I like that they're going ahead and just being like, okay, we're just going to put this out on our streaming services and for different things. So it's nice. I guess it's nice because I have Disney Plus. I'm looking forward to that Mulan movie.
Oh, yeah. The live action one, right?
Yeah. It looks awesome. Even though my kids are... this is the first time ever. My kids are teenagers now.
Okay.
They grew up with the cartoon Mulan. It was one of their favorite Disney movies.
That was their era, yeah.
Yeah, the cartoon Mulan. Mm-hmm. And so they're getting all salty about this one. It's the first time they're old enough now that it's happening to them.
That's great.
It's happening to them. The same reason I probably didn't see the Tron or whatever, you know, the things. Well, why are they doing this?
Yeah, I get it.
They're like, what? They're like, is there going to be a dragon in it? Now I think it was Eddie Murphy. Was that Eddie Murphy who was the dragon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. There you go. Come on.
It's hard to beat the Italian of the original, but.
Yeah, but I'm like, this looks awesome. Fighting Chinese, like kung fu-y.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the words I'm looking for, but
empire battle and honor and, you know, defeat the Huns.
This arrows flying. I don't know. Something gets me. There's something about any of those movies. Swords on horseback and just the cloud of arrows in the air.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was in one of the Lord of the Rings or maybe all of the Lord of the Rings, but I don't know. Something about a cloud of arrows.
I think I would almost argue that if you have arrows as a prominent weapon in your movie, I think at some point you have to have that shot.
Cloud of arrows?
Yeah.
Yes.
They will blot out the sun. Yes. Gladiator did it. Yes.
Man, I love cloud. I don't know why I love cloud arrows.
So now we just learned a new thing. If you want Kevin to be in a movie theater seat, put a whole bunch of bow and arrows in the movie and then have him shoot in a nice, beautiful arc. That camera shot. It's great.
Cloud of arrows. ridiculous.
And then depending on the rating of the movie, you get to see the shot where they all land, and it either misses everybody or goes completely through everybody.
Yes. That's our band name, Cloud of Arrows.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Our album is Blot Out the Sun. Yeah.
And then you said, what, an Andy Kaufman movie? What?
Andy Kaufman, no. Close. Same last name. But this is just for me. We'll touch on it real quick. But Charlie Kaufman is the director and writer of such hits as Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, yes, Being John Malkovich, Schenectady, New York, and Mona Lisa. He's one of those, speaking of people that are able to put out things that they're passionate about and is really just their creative vision, he's always been that way. And his creations have always been weird and twisted.
I would call him genuinely weird.
Yes.
Now, the reason why I use the word genuinely weird is because sometimes I see stuff and I'm like, you're just being weird to be weird.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from me going to art school and running into kids who are falsely weird. They were just being weird to be weird. They were picking some kind of movement that wasn't really them.
Yes.
Just to be weird.
Just because of the weirdness factor.
Yes. But Charlie Kaufman stuff, when there's a genuineness behind the weirdness, you get stuff like he does.
Exactly.
And also on the the Twin Peaks side of things. You know, stuff like that. Where it's like, you're just genuinely weird.
Yes.
And so there you go. Yeah.
I'm with you. And being a fellow art school kid, there you definitely run into that. And so it's easy to recognize it.
Yes. For us, at least.
Yeah. What I think I like about Charlie Kaufman when it comes to somebody like David Lynch for Twin Peaks is, David Lynch is definitely the weird to be weird type guy, but he seems to do it without any sense of humor. Charlie Kaufman movies, while they're weird and like just messed up and hard to follow, there's usually a little like quirkiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
This one, not so much. This one is a psychological thriller about a boyfriend and girlfriend go back to visit boyfriend's family, and weird events start occurring and people start going crazy and evil. But then there's the Charlie Kaufman twist where it also looks like it's either jumping through time or alternate universes. I can't even tell.
It's going to get weird.
It is going to get weird. It's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with the horror element turned up to about 8.
Oh, wow. Sounds interesting. Yeah, I can hang with the genuinely weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is, and this is a more commercial version of genuinely weird, but like Tim Burton is genuinely weird.
Very much so.
Like that's the black and white stripes exist, you know, because he likes them.
That's so,
and
like,
you can't stop him.
And you say that and I agree immediately, but that is kind of weird that if you see that pattern in like a character or in a certain setting, you're like, oh, that's Tim Burton.
Yeah.
So weird.
I know. It's great, though. That's the genuinely weird. Love it.
Yeah. Why giant sandworms? Oh, because reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll tap onto some more Mikey stuff. I'm taking the notes, so I am biased. So animated stuff. There's so much cartoon animation coming out. It's crazy.
Cool. Yes.
Happy pick-me-up stuff.
Tell me about it.
The main one that I am most excited for, my childhood is coming back, and I'm excited about it. It's not a reboot I'm upset about. It's Animaniacs.
Wait, what?
Yep.
Wait.
It's time for Animaniacs.
Did I know about this? Wait, did they do this already, or was this something that... Wait.
I mentioned the rumor when it first popped up in our look ahead this year.
Okay.
But now it's official. Post-production is done. It is releasing November 20th on Hulu.
Oh, yes. Well, that's the thing. I was telling you, we were talking about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Animated stuff is, it's going to get to a point where people are like, why is there so much animated stuff? And it's because of the dark times. Because you can still do pretty much an entire production of animated stuff and never have to leave the houses of the people doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's awesome.
Just send it through email.
So, yeah. Google Docs. I don't know.
But like I said, you can go back and listen to our year ahead. We talked a little bit about there, but also most of the original cast is coming back, including Rob Paulsen, Tress McNeil. We talked about her with Disenchantment, Maurice LaMarche, Frank Welker, all old school, just solid, solid talents when it comes to animation and voice acting. Steven Spielberg's the executive producer again, a lot of the same writers, even a lot of the same musicians that did. Because that was one of the things about Animaniacs that I loved is that they actually scored a whole bunch of their stuff with original, like, classical, bombastic music.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently a lot of the musicians that scored the original series are coming back to score the new one.
Nice.
So even the music people are coming back.
Right. Well, but this is Steven Spielberg's brainchild, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if anyone can get people to come back, he can.
Exactly.
He changed the rating system for movies.
I always thought it was funny, though. Animaniacs is about creatures, like, just causing havoc on Warner Brothers' lot.
Yeah, they're the Warner Brothers.
But is that just Steven Spielberg being like, Warner Brothers, you make me grumpy. I'm going to make a cartoon about how grumpy you make me and what I wish I could do to you.
Yeah. Is Yakko the embodiment of Steven Spielberg?
Maybe, at least one of his mental personalities.
Yeah.
Id or superego, whatever those phrases
are. That's funny. What if each one, there's three of them, right?
There are. Yakko, Wakko, and Duh.
And there's the id, ego, and superego.
There you go.
Oh, what's going on? Did we just figure something out?
Adding it to my notes, we're going to deep dive this.
Yeah. This sounds like a college course or paper or something.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk about why the Animaniacs represent your psychological mind state.
Steven Spielberg's psychological mind state.
Yes, not mine. Oh, that'd be hilarious. I'm claiming it now. I'd support that theory, even though it may not hold up to even the slightest Google search.
All I hope is that they let Rob Paulsen do the updated. Was he the one who did? No, it was Wakko. Wakko does it. Who does the countries?
Yakko does the countries. Wakko does the burps.
Wakko does the burps. Yakko does the countries. Yeah. Anyway, the countries need to be updated because a lot of those countries don't exist anymore.
That'd be funny if they did it.
So, yes.
And I hope we get more burping songs. That's just me.
Yeah.
But yes, Animaniacs, November 20th on Hulu. Look out for that.
Fun.
Something else that's been trending. I thought it was just a trend for live action shows, but there seems to be a trend of let's write stories about the characters that exist in the periphery of popular media.
Yes.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We talked about Gotham PD last time when we were talking about the Batman. Now they're doing that with animated shows.
Oh, wow.
There's two of them. There's the animated X-Files.
What?
And Star Trek Lower Decks.
I've seen commercials for Star Trek Lower Decks. Okay. I had no idea animated X-Files.
Yes.
Is Star Trek Lower Decks out yet?
It just came out August 6th.
Okay.
The first season, and apparently it's doing well enough that it got a second season coming up in production as well.
Was it on CBS All Access?
Yes.
I see here. Okay. Have you seen any of it?
I've watched the first two. I like what I've seen so far. I haven't gotten a chance to finish through it, though.
Because I know you're a big Star Trek fan. Out of the two of us, you're the Star Trek guy.
Yeah, and I am the Star Trek guy, and also our buddy Not Scott was like, hey, I just checked this out. You guys should check it out, too. So on that recommendation, that's why I also started watching it.
Is it, what's it aimed at? Is it adult cartoon? Is it primetime adult cartoon, or is it like...
It is adult
cartoon.
It is adult cartoon, but it is more prime time than like Adult Swim.
Right. See, how did you knew what I was saying? This is why we make good podcast partners. You knew what I was saying.
Yep.
There's different tiers. There's like kids cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's like youth cartoons, which are like kind of tweener cartoons.
Yep.
And then you get into like teen cartoons,
mm-hmm.
and they can slide, but still. And then you get into primetime adult cartoons, which is like Simpsons and stuff like that.
Simpsons
and then you get into adult cartoons, which I'm not talking about stuff that's on the internet.
Stuff we can't talk about on the podcast.
But I'm talking about like the Adult Swim stuff where it's like rude, crude, and you know.
Yeah. All bets are off, old school Comedy Central type stuff.
So.
Because it is CBS, I think it is more the primetime adult cartoons.
But it's supposed to be funny, right?
It is.
Is it kind of like the Orville?
It is like Orville. To me, I don't know if you've watched it, but I remember talking about it. The cartoon Final Space. It does have that, like Orville and like Final Space, it has it not taking itself too seriously. Like they play on the tropes, you know, they know all the jokes. It's very lovingly done towards sci-fi, but it is sort of twisting a smile, doing it with a smirk, you know.
So they know that wearing a red shirt is dangerous type thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's fun. That's interesting. Star Trek is one of those things where it doesn't seem to have they did the Tribbles thing, so I guess it does have a sense of humor about itself. I guess the fans don't have a sense of humor about themselves sometimes.
But
whereas Star Trek does, because I can think of plenty of times, even Next Generation, and I can think of plenty of times in the shows where they're kind of silly about what's going on or themselves or characters and stuff like that. So it does, it can get whimsical sometimes. But when I think of Star Trek,
think of the whimsy.
Yeah, but it exists.
Oh, I do think it exists. My theory that you just made me form right now, I think it's because of the movies. Because it's like a shot of Star Trek and they only have so much time to tell a story that I don't think any Star Trek movie really has any dose of humor in it. Whereas the show had like episodes that were silly, like buried in the mix of like, oh, we did a really heavy show. Let's lighten it up next week. You know, the movies don't do that. And so maybe that lends a little bit more of a seriousness to
Interesting.
It.
Interesting to me. But to me, it wasn't so much that I don't think Star Trek would do that. To me, it was like, I don't think the fans would like that kind of thing because they seem to take themselves so seriously sometimes.
Humor does seem highly illogical to the Star Trek fan. But
yeah. It's the Spock thing, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's the Spock thing. Okay.
But Spock's only one part, so
I know.
If you do want a little bit more humor in your Star Trek, absolutely check out the Lower Decks. The animated X-Files one is called X-Files Albuquerque. It's not out yet, but it is coming either later this year or early next year, and it's doing the same sort of take. It's called X-Files Albuquerque because it's sort of the branch office to the main X-Files. So this isn't Mulder and Scully. You know, this is the B team that are out in Albuquerque. They're like, hey, we think we might have seen Bigfoot. You go check it out and be like, all right, I guess. But turns out Bigfoot actually does exist.
So it's this one's supposed to be funny, too.
Yes.
Man, this is OK. That's fine, I guess. But the thing that Americans are still kind of stuck in that animated equal funny thing.
Yeah.
Whereas over, you know, in Japan, that's not always the case. There's so many, like Akira. Let's go back to one of the OG ones.
Absolutely.
You can make something great and serious with animation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like tolerated in comic books here in the States, I mean, really.
Okay.
But not in animation.
I get it.
And I wish that they would, because I just thought of this. I thought about when you said animated X-Files, originally I thought, oh, they might, like, they're taking, like, because they did comic books of the X-Files with Mulder and Scully in them.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, they're going to take those and animate them? Because that would be cool.
That'd be great.
And then I started thinking, oh, we always want more Firefly, and they continue the story in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And all the actors still have their voices and stuff, even though they might not look like they used to back when the comic book era is set.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what if you, and Joss Whedon, are you listening? And animate all the comic books.
That'd be amazing.
And have all the actors voice themselves. So
I'm right there with you, because while I'm okay with a funny sitcom version of X-Files, when I first heard about it, I was right there with you. I thought, how cool would it be to be able to do like monsters and sci-fi and supernatural in animated form when you can go nuts and basically draw like any kind of monster or go to any planet? Like you could just let animation run wild and in a serious tone, but as much as it doesn't seem like they're going that way, that would be awesome.
It's like Americans are bad at it or something, right? Weird.
Maybe. Oh, drama not as far as cartoon goes. Yeah. Drama not selling well as humor.
I
mean,
can you even think of one?
Serious animated show.
Based like with an American that's not from Japan.
Not easily off the top of my head, no. Yeah.
Hmm.
Everything I know is at least on the premise silly and, you know, maybe got more serious as it went along. Gravity Falls, kind of, but even then that's sort of, it's still childish and silly first.
You're missing out.
But maybe, hey, so we're putting it out there. More serious animation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially
Firefly.
Now with the pandemic.
Oh, Firefly animated show. I'd watch that all day long.
I know, right?
Oh.
So awesome. Well.
And then the last thing on the animated news and with the last nerd alert we'll end on from my notes. This is for you. More Star Wars nerd alerts, because I always like to throw at least one of those in there.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Yes.
It's Star Wars, but it's the holiday special.
What? Okay, I know the holiday special.
The holiday special is kind of coming back in animated, but also Lego form.
What? Wait, huh? Wait, okay. So here's the... So I got excited at first. Like I said, Mikey sends me these things, but like I said, he does so much research. There's so much here that I didn't have time to get through the whole thing. And I like to be surprised a little bit, too. It's fun. Jon Favreau had mentioned the animated special not being so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared a lot of people.
He did.
And he was also like, well, maybe we could do another one. And it scared people even more. And, of course, I don't know if he was joking. But when you first said this, I was like, oh, is he doing it?
As far as I know, Favreau and Filoni don't have, their names aren't attached to it. I'm sure they're going to be there in some sort of executive title. But this is much like the Lego games that they did. This is that sort of branch of the creative department.
Is this a game or is it a show?
It is a show coming out on.
So this is like Lego movie type. And what was that show my kids used to watch? So there was a Lego show.
Ninjago.
Yeah, Ninjago existed, but my kids weren't into Ninjago. There was like, it was, his name was like Dark Danger or something like that. I forget what it was.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I don't know. There was this Lego like action hero guy that they actually really liked the shows, and they were like Lego produced. The animation was not Ninjago level even.
Yeah.
But they loved it.
This is for Disney Plus, though, so this is official and authorized and has budget behind it, so it's not...
So maybe this is what... Maybe this Jon Favreau was... This was a tease for him.
It might
maybe
be.
Maybe he knew about it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm.
But they have all the official characters. Rey's going to be the main focal point again, but she has to sort of interact with people from Star Wars past and future to help out with a celebration for Life Day. Life Day is coming back.
Yay, Life Day.
Obviously, it's the holiday special, so it has to have a holiday in it, but I'm just happy to see Life Day continuing, especially after they made that crack about it in The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah. That made Life Day canon again.
Yep.
So you've seen the holiday special, right?
I have.
Yeah.
With Chewbacca's family and Boba Fett watching TV. Watching B. Arthur? No, who's...
B. Arthur was in it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Listen. No, well, here's the thing. No, actually, I do not mind the holiday special at all.
I get you.
Which you would think that the guy who had the problem with the prequels would have a problem with the holiday special.
Yeah, it would make sense. Thing.
But the reason is because I'm pretty sure I saw it the one time they showed it.
Oh, I got you.
So I was just a little kid.
And part of the event.
And so I don't 100% like remember sitting down and watching it, but when I finally was able to see it on the internet,
yes,
which is where everyone sees it,
yeah,
it seemed familiar to me.
I got you.
So I was like, I think I saw this.
I get it.
So yeah, there's we've talked about nostalgia goggles a million times on the show,
mm-hmm.
and they're a thing.
I get it.
So. And I guess, I don't know, you've helped me over the years, too, in having my own kids and stuff. And yeah. Sometimes stuff's just like, come on, it's goofy and it's dumb.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much weirdness in it.
Yeah.
But it's actually kind of delightful that that's all there.
We'll bring the Joker back again. Sometimes you got to just be like, why so serious? Just have fun with it. The holiday special for me never stood a chance because I wasn't there for the original airing of it. And it was presented to me as like, George Lucas wants this banned from the world and wish it never existed. But you got to witness the absolute monstrosity that is the holiday special. So because it was pitched to me that way, I had to sort of be able to laugh at it. But I enjoyed it. I mean, it is silly. And I laugh more at the fact that George Lucas tried to do that thing where it's like, please don't look at this. This doesn't exist. Okay. Like E.T. on Atari, or I think they call it the Streisand effect because Barbara Streisand didn't want her house posted on the internet. And so the internet was like, all right, here's your house.
Oh, yeah, right. I know. Don't tell the internet not to do something.
Yeah, that's like step one of what to do absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm going to look up this. My kids are going to go crazy if I don't. All right, so Google told me, so my boys don't yell at me. It's Clutch Powers.
Is the Lego show you were talking about. Okay.
Clutch Powers.
What a great name for like a character or principal. Like, oh, that's so clutch. Clutch Powers. Also, like, it reminds me of old G.I. Joe, Kung Fu Grip.
The Adventures of Clutch Powers. Look at that. I'm gonna show Mikey the it's Indiana Jones.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Oh, that's totally it's Indiana Jones and also Uncharted, but that was Indiana Jones in video game form.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. Yeah. It actually looks cool though.
The Lego stuff's always fun. They do a good job.
The Lego Super Mario sets that I mentioned on our look ahead also came out, and they speaking of doing a super job, man, those are so fun. But Lego Star Wars Holiday Special looks like a good time. Plus, and coming out in time for the holidays in November. So
I had wasted a lot of time playing the Lego video game. Did you play the Lego Star Wars video game?
They're my vote for one of the best local co-op games you can play. Yeah. If you have a wife, if you have a significant other, if you have a brother, a sister, somebody that maybe isn't even into video games that much, Lego games are the best.
I used to play with my boys. When you have twins that are the same age, you need to find co-op games.
Yeah.
And that was one of the ones that we used to play a lot. They used to play a lot. And speaking of which, before I showed up here in the podcast, Zudio.
There you go.
And I got to thank you. Xbox was running sales, and we got Borderlands 2 on sale.
There you go.
And we started playing it, and it's freaking fun.
Awesome.
So much fun.
Yeah, because we were talking about Claptrap.
And for free, we got the real Borderlands 3.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The pre-sequel. Which is the real Borderlands 3.
That's Borderlands humor right there, is just even in the title.
It's been a lot of fun. We've just started. We haven't gotten really that far, but it's a lot of fun. They're the perfect age for it now. Oh, they can handle all the stuff. They've never really played an open world game that wasn't a Lego game.
Oh, fun. I got
you. But they started going like, this is like a Lego game. That's what they were like. This is just...
It's true.
They said it was a kind of a cross between, for them, this is coming from the games, their game history.
Yeah, everybody has to have their
little kid games.
Reference points.
It's a cross between the Lego games and Disney Infinity.
Oh, that makes sense.
So we had to run through Disney. They won't get rid of their Disney Infinity figurines, even though they don't play it. The figurines are awesome, and we have a giant collection of them.
Yep.
Because they were still playing it when they stopped making it. So those characters used to be expensive.
I got you.
And then they all went on clearance, and it got to a point where you could get them for like $4.99.
Oh, fun!
And I think they used to be like $20-25 bucks, something crazy like that.
Especially when the trend was happening.
So they have everything. Like every Star Wars one, we have it all. We have like the whole range of things because the figures are awesome.
Yeah, I'm jealous because the style and the craftsmanship of those are just stellar.
So we actually built a special display shelf and they're all displayed on the shelf now instead of being played because the game's too kiddie for them now. But
I get it. I'm glad they're digging on Borderlands, though. That is such a teenage boy, like, they take the fun, and then as you get through the game, it just cranks it up and it gets crazier and crazier.
Yeah.
Because you find so many random weapons, make me want to play it again.
It's been a lot of fun, and thank you for the recommendation.
Hey, that's for everybody. Glad it worked for your boys.
Yes. Borderlands 3.
But that's all my notes on Nerd Alerts for the moment.
Nerd Alerts, that was a wonderful Nerd Alerts, so.
I gotta get back on the internet.
Yes. And it's good to see you and your doggy collar.
I'm healing up well, so back on the rebound.
Yes, and thank you to everyone for all the well wishes for Mikey.
Yep.
We really do appreciate that. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. Continue to go and rate 5 stars anywhere you get the podcast. Give us a good review, thumbs up, whatever platform you're on. We're on tons of them. Tell your friends about it. Share it around. Like I said before, you can't really go to conventions. That's usually where we get the word out. So we need you, our loyal listeners, to give us a hand.
Yep.
So thanks, everyone, for the support and for listening. We want to also thank that guy, Brad, for doing our announcing, Not Scott Productions for our equipment, Jazzar for doing our music, and everyone, Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. Two other movie bullet points.
Yay, we have some for the end of the podcast.
Yay. Two other movie. We had to have the laugh to complete it. There we go. And scene.